Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL.
It's Kitty. Today I have Eric Sebastian, aka Vanish. It's his alter ego. He is here. Welcome in. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump right in, and I always ask the question, what is something about you that others may not know about you?
I would say as far, like, a lot of people know that I make music, but I don't think a lot of people know how long I've actually been doing it.
Yeah.
So I started like messing around with it in high school, and I'm 36 now. So I've been doing it for like almost 20 years now, which is crazy to think about. But it's just like, yeah, it's like a lot of people know I do it, but they just kind of assume like, oh, you know,
you just must do be a music. They don't know how deep you are into it.
Yeah, they don't realize like how much time I've actually sat in rooms by myself and just spent with it. So
yeah. Do you remember the first song that you wrote? Is that something that you keep, like, you know exactly what it is, or is it just go back to where?
I still have like notebooks of like old lyrics and stuff. I actually, when I first started, I started with one of my like good friends at the time. So I didn't start alone. Yeah. We were kind of like, just, you know, he had an equal love for music, and we were just kind of like, hey, what happens if we like try this on our own? Yeah. But yeah, I do remember the first song that we made. And
is it funny to look back?
Yeah, it's like, it's
where you're at now.
It's kind of cringy, but then it's a good reminder of like, wow, I've made some progress.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've seen some of the funnier ones. I've seen is, I think, Post Malone, that there's one of Post Malone going around and you're like, you can go anywhere. Have you seen this one?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, I think there's such a difference between, I mean, I think even 20s, I'm 48. And so for me, it's like being 20 or even a teenager being versus, say, like 36 for you, there's so much growth and just personal growth that goes on that sometimes we look back and we're like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some stuff even from a couple years ago where I'm like, not great.
That's funny. Have you always wanted to do music, or did you have a turning point that was like, yes, I'm doing this?
It's always been like a big part of my life from like day one, just, you know, as far as like listening to it and like absorbing it. But I never really, like, the thought was never really like, oh, I want to like make it and like do my own stuff with it. It was just like when me and my friends started doing that, it was just kind of like, let's just see what happens. We both like music. We're both creative. And then once we started to like dabble with it and dive into it a little, then I fell in love with it. And, you know, eventually as we grew up, we went our separate ways, you know, and he moved and
just kind of organically grown for you.
Yeah. And I was just like, I'm going to keep going with it. And, you know, I didn't really start taking it serious and treating it like a serious thing until probably, I would say probably around when COVID started, because we were all locked up and, you know, I was like, what else am I going to do?
I hear that so much with just the few, you know, I think this is episode 14 or 15, and I've been around the music scene for a while with a lot of friends in the industry, but the new people that I've met, it's always been like at COVID is when I really started on, just whether it be like, go from touring to doing it just yourself, or just a turning point for you to really go forward.
Yeah. And it was, same. I know a handful of people that have and just interviews and stuff I watched too that have the same thing, but it was a big like outlet from like being like super bored and just like, having an outlet to like put all these weird out of the box thoughts that everyone was having because they were just like cooped up for and isolated. So it was my therapy at the time. I mean, it always has been, but like that was like the bubble where I was like, okay, let me really dive into it and just see what happens.
No, I love that. I haven't really thought about it till you just said that because I've heard it a couple times, and it's like I talk a lot about music being a catalyst for healing and things like that, but at that point it really was a common foundation for so many people that were locked up, especially musicians, because they're used to being out and doing and having people around. And so that does make me look at that a little bit differently. So I read, I was doing some reading on you because that's what I do. And it said, I read that you really had a lot of country growing up, that that was some of the majority of the music. And I resonate with that because my mom was like Carly Simon, and then my dad was Ted Nugent, and there was no country. It wasn't allowed, not at all. Though I do like country now. But can you tell me what it was like whenever you finally realized there was something different that you could actually that you clicked with?
I remember the exact moment, honestly. So just like the way my like a lot of my fam my parents both come from big families. So I have lots of aunts, uncles, and cousins. And a lot of them were farmers, ranchers, just that kind of lifestyle, on top of being, like the older generation. So nothing was ever like forced on me. But it's just like that's what I grew up around hearing most common,
It's that's
probably.
what we do. That's what we do.
Yeah. So, and I never, there was just something about it. I was like, I could never just vibe with it. And then I have an older sister, and I remember sneaking into her room one day and just flipping through her CDs, and I found a Tupac CD. And I was like, what is this? And I like snuck it out of her room, put it in my CD player, and just listened to it. And the second that first song came on, I was just like, I don't know what this is, but this is it. Like, I
I
love
love
this.
it.
And then ever since then, I've been in, and I listen to everything. I really do. Country's just one of my least favorites, and nothing against it. Like, there's very, very talented people in that genre. It's just not my cup of tea.
And it's not even really, I mean, now it's not even country, really. It's like kind of rock country. Like
Yeah, it's
it's
like
not
they're.
like the old country, but still it's definitely not something that everybody can connect to.
Yeah, 100%. There's so many like hybrid versions of every genre of music nowadays that it's hard to keep up,
It
honestly.
is. It is. Do you have a favorite, I guess, I music being a catalyst for healing? We talk about this so much, but just kind of being that soundtrack of our life. Do you have specific artists that as you grew up that they really impacted you through like their lyrics or their music?
Yeah, I mean, Tupac will always be my number one just because like that is what introduced me to everything. As far as like that, I mean, like it's a big spectrum for me. Like, I feel like I have so many different artists that have like a few songs that like have that effect on me. As far as like who I listen to, like my top five, I'll just give you my top five. It's the easiest way of doing it. I hate doing this at the same time though, because everyone's like, oh, I can't believe you didn't put so and so in there. And
Yeah,
I'm
no, I
just like,
get that.
it's my list. Calm down. I like who I like. So Tupac's number one, Eminem's second, Tech N9ne, Nas, and not a lot of people know this one. There's a group called Swollen Members that are from Canada. And I'm a lyrical person.
That's I am
So
too.
yeah, so like all those guys are in my list mainly for their lyrics and the depth of what they make. I listen to all the other like trap club banger stuff too. Like that stuff's fun and I love it. but I don't resonate with it like I do
Yeah.
the more like layered
Yeah.
music.
What I love about Tupac is that when he gets on stage or when he got on stage, that he was so, I think, abrupt and very direct with lyrics and things like that, and comes across as being very not gentle. But for me, when I look at him, like
Yeah.
looked at him, he was just a more quiet, gentle soul behind the scenes, it seems like. And so it's always interesting. You talked a little bit about the alter ego, and it's like it is like sometimes it is like that. And that is one thing that I always loved about him, because you get the music and it can be all kinds of all over the place, but behind the scenes, it doesn't appear that he was always that way.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And it's, I appreciate artists like that, who like they're not hiding anything, you know. Like, yeah, they have the alter ego, but that's not like, you know, you see some artists nowadays where like you meet them in person or you see them in person and they are completely different. There's a complete disconnect from their artist and what they do on stage and their human being. So I appreciate the more down to earth people, I guess,
I
who
do
it's like,
too.
you know, there's always going to be a little bit of variance in
Yeah, I
that
think there
area.
has to be whenever you jump up. I mean, I can't imagine one of my friends, I just did the podcast with him, Adrian from Otherwise, and on stage he reminds me of like the mummy guy, where he's like, whoa! But then he's like so like gentle and quiet and kind and all those things, and it's all still the same person, but I think it takes something special to get up there and do that.
Yeah,
So
there's just a switch that goes off, and you know, it's like,
yeah.
all right, I'm this person now for a little bit.
Yeah. What, how do you feel? I can ask, I'm gonna ask this because my son, it was very much, especially as a teenager, into Eminem. I would allow him and I would help him write Eminem lyrics on his walls just because that was his thing. Like, how do you view the progression of him? Because there's so many different opinions on the changes that he's done, especially the current ones.
100%. I mean, he's the master of having split identities, and like, I mean, like Slim Shady and Eminem are both platinum artists and they're completely different people. So, I mean, like Slim Shady is obviously the more like abrasive, like outlandish, you know, artist. And like, I personally like sober Eminem, just because it's his stuff does hit deeper. Like he's still off the wall with some stuff, like his newest album, but he seems sharper and clearer, and as like a human being, you know. Like, I like to see my heroes thrive because I was
Oh
like,
gosh.
I want you to do this forever, dude. Like, don't ever stop. And if you're on drugs or you're, you know, suffering from mental illness or you're just in these rabbit holes, a lot of people don't come. Some of the most talented people in the world haven't come back from that, and it's a shame.
And it's
So
so
I'm
easy to fall into it, especially in the music industry. That's just something that is going to be, and I don't know if it's more prevalent in the music industry. It's just everybody's eyes are on you, you know, and so everybody's eyes are on you to make any mistake, and then you can't recover from it very easy.
100%. And the bigger you are, the more pressure there is, and the more, you know, outlets you have to fall into those situations.
Especially, everybody has phones, everybody's recording, everybody's doing everything. Do
So
you have a song that you've written that resonates with you or holds a more special place for you than some of the other songs that you've written?
Yeah, I have a couple. I feel like the harder songs that I had to write that were just harder to get out of me, were the ones that resonate more, just because it came from a much more emotional place. But that being said, they are the most difficult ones to get out, and it's, you know, those are the ones where the replay value isn't necessarily as high as a lot of the other, you know, like up tempo, more surf, not, yeah, I mean, kind of surface level stuff. Those seem to be the songs with higher replay value, in my opinion. But the more emotional stuff is the stuff that tends to like just hit a different chord, you know? So, and everything I've made in the last like 2 years for me personally is it's everything I've made within like the last 2 year pocket has resonated with me more just because I'm improving, I'm figuring more stuff out, I'm, you know, coming into this like alter ego more, and so it's just improving, and the more I improve, the better I like it and enjoy it, and everyone else for that matter too. But you know, it's like I'm a big believer in you're only as good as you allow yourself to be. So you know, you see a lot of these big artists hit their peak and then they disappear, and you know, you don't hear from them ever again, and it's a shame for a lot of the there's like a lot of those people. I was like, damn, I love these guys. I was like,
Where'd
what
they go?
happened? Yeah, what
Where'd
happened? You're like, where are you?
Yeah, no, I feel that. And I feel like the journey of self-growth is just through and through, whether it be through music or art or anything that you do. Like I think you always have to have room, like, or you do top out. I have a couple songs I want to ask you about. Is that
Okay.
okay?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. I know initially when we first talked, I think you sent me Drown Here.
Yep, that was one of the ones I had in my head.
And that's on my playlist. I listen to it actually all the time right
Oh,
now.
thank you.
I love that song. You have a story that coincides with that.
It was, yeah, I mean, most of it, it's kind of like bits and pieces just from like hard times in my life in general. But the catalyst to the whole thing was I was like early 20s. I'm thinking I was like 23, 24, somewhere in there. But I was in a relationship and just terrible, toxic. Brought me the person that I was with at the time, very manipulative, and just drug me down into this hole in this depression that I had never seen before, didn't know how to handle it. And essentially, you know, this brought me to a dark hole that I didn't know I was if I was ever going to get out of it. And then it just like once you hit that rock bottom phase or what you feel is rock bottom for you at that time, that's when it kind of jars you loose and you wake up and you're like, I gotta do something here. So that is kind of the what sparked that whole
Is
concept
that
of
one of
that
your newer
song.
songs?
Yeah, that came out last year, I
Okay.
believe.
I was like, I
So
think it resonates on so many different levels. I know a lot of people that struggle with mental health as well, and suicidal thoughts, and a lot of people I know struggle with addiction. And so when I hear that song, it's like when people hit that bottom, and it could be of many different, things, but I think that song resonates. I think that's why it resonated with me, because I see that a lot from people.
yeah, and it's, I mean, I'm a big advocate for like mental health stuff, just having been through, you know, situations like that. And the biggest thing that I've learned personally is like when you get to that bottom point or what you feel is, you got two choices. And it's like you can either stand up and start taking baby steps in the opposite direction and make and heal and make yourself better, or you can continue and stay in the victim and then things aren't ever going to get any better. So
But sometimes it's so easy to stay in that mode because it's what you know. It's so
hundred
easy.
percent it's just like I compare it to like just being positive. Like it's so easy to be negative and complain on a daily basis, and like being in a, you know, a positive mindset and like an optimistic mindset. People who can consistently do that, in my opinion, it's a freaking
Oh, I agree.
superpower. Like, I
I
have my
agree.
good days and I try to stay like that, but like the people who you're like, you're like, I don't know if I've ever seen you in a bad mood.
Yeah, it's
Like,
like, are you delusional? Are you on, like, why? How are you this way? I feel that. Yeah. It's
sometimes,
ups and downs, ups and downs, pretty
for sure.
consistently. Pretty consistently.
Yeah.
So the other song I wanted to ask you about is Hype Floats. Is there a story behind it? I actually really love that song as well. And there were some lyrics that were in there that I was like, oh, I'm gonna pull some of those and use those. So I just wanted to ask you about that.
For sure. That song was just that was just a fun song to make, honestly. It was just the concept for it was like the Hype Floats concept was like whatever it is, but I see it in music a lot, is like this artist or this song is like, you know, they have this project, this album, this song, whatever, but like it has so much like momentum and force behind it that like even if it's not that good, it's been built up to this thing where everyone's just like, this is awesome because everyone thinks it is. And so like that was kind of the idea behind it, that like even if you make something and it's not like top tier quality wise or content wise, like if you have the right audience or the right timing, it can do incredible things, good or bad.
Yeah, no, it can. It can. And if you have that connection with the people there, I mean, at some point it comes to where you have people around you, and it really honestly doesn't matter what it sounds like, they're going to support you because they love you. So, but I did really love that. Why do you think that music is so detrimental to mental health for so many? Do you have, I know you've talked a little bit about a few experiences you've had, but I feel like it is definitely partnered with mental health and can be so beneficial, or it could be detrimental too, depending on what you're listening to at the time. But why do you think that it's so impactful?
That's a good question, honestly, because I feel like there's so many like different layers to that. I would say like for me personally, it just like A, it's the relatability. Like there's whatever the topic is, there's someone out there that's gonna relate to it, whether it's mental health or whether it's, you know, going to the club and partying or whatever, like whatever it is, there's someone out there in the universe, a small group of people that will connect to it. And I think when you're listening to music just on your own, it almost like feels like they're talking to you, you know? So it's like, and especially if you've grown up with listening to like people, or you're big fans of them and what they stand for, and you know, it just it you feel like they're your friend, or you know them on a personal level, even when you don't, you know.
Yeah, no,
So
they, I think they've had such a huge part in our life. I talk about that. It's like they literally are the soundtrack to our life. Because some of us that listen to music, we listen to it all the time. And I had an artist tell me one time, like, it's just a song. And it's like, it's just a song. It's just a song. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's a memory of me sitting in my floor when I was 14 years old and looking at posters on my walls, or it's what I needed when someone passed away or when I broke up. And so I always think that that's such an interesting dynamic in question, you know, when people are like, it's just a song, because some people really aren't that interested in music, but when you are, it's everything. It's everything.
I think that like regardless though, and that like exactly like you said, there's certain songs that are tied to certain memories in your life. And even if you're not like a big music fanatic, there's at least a handful of times in your life where if this song plays, it triggers this memory, whatever that is. And for that reason, it's like, okay, you'll always be connected to that type of music or that band or that artist or whatever, whether you like subconsciously realize it or not. But
No, and I just talking to you, I mean, it just clicked in my mind. I was like, we really do. We use music at birthday parties. We use it at weddings. We use it at funerals. We use it to mark all these milestones, graduations, you know, all those things. And so it really is this placeholder for us so many times.
100%.
What keeps you going in this industry? I've had so many conversations about how shady and all different kinds of things about the industry and how it's really just not about talent. It's about so much more, right? And we know that. But what keeps you going and keeps you being you?
Honestly, like I just it's my therapist. That is the number one thing. And it keeps me sh I feel like it keeps me sharp. It keeps me witty and creative because it's music is one of the only things as a whole that I've never been bored with because there's so much and like you can never learn everything. Like I'm constantly learning, I'm constantly figuring things out. And I'm like, what's this do? Like, I taught myself to make music just by like literally getting like my program on my computer and just pushing buttons. And I'm like, what's this do? What's this do?
Yeah,
What's
and
this
you can
do?
do that now, right? You don't have to have a big production. You can just do whatever you want.
And it's like the way the industry is nowadays, like they're if your eyes are open to it, there's some weird, shady stuff that goes on. But on the flip side of that, with how technology and like companies, like distributing companies and all that, you don't have to like be a victim to any of that either. So like independent artists, like yeah, it's harder to gain traction and become this big like superstar in the industry, but it's definitely possible. I mean, look at all the guys right now who have done it, and
Social media has really played such a role, because beforehand I mean, you look back. I come from the 80s era. And so you have all these hair bands that did all these buses, all these tour things, all this crazy stuff. And now it could be as simple as you post a video on YouTube and bam, it just kind of depends on who catches you at the right moment.
And I'm like I'm on the fence with all of that because it's like I would not have social media if I didn't need it. But it's like, and I literally only use it for music purposes, like just to market and get eyeballs. And yeah, it's one of the most effective tools for like gaining traction. So I use it as a tool, not so much for pleasure, Every now and then I'll sit there and doom scroll, but for the most part, I'm
Doom
just like,
scrollings. I
ugh.
use that word a lot. I teach a lot. I talk a lot about grief and help people through grief and just trauma and just living your best life and how music intertwines with all of that. And I can say I was very against TikTok and all those things, but now I have found myself over there with a group of people that I just wouldn't want to live without. And I just actually got back from a retreat that I hosted that all those people came. And so I was like, I have seen some really great things from it, but there are some terrible things from it as
Yeah,
well. So
for sure.
it's a time sucking machine if you're not careful.
It's just how you use it. Like, like I end up loving TikTok. I told myself for the longest time, I was like, I'm not gonna get it. I'm not gonna do it.
It's
And then
bad.
I finally caved in. But that being said, the algorithm on that is amazing in the sense of like I've learned so much useful practical stuff from that app than I ever did in like my past 30 years of existence. And I'm like, what? I was like, how has no one told me this? So it's like if you let it be a tool, it's very useful and you can learn a lot from it. But unfortunately, that's a very small percentage of
Yeah,
people.
those rabbit
Instead,
holes are deep on TikTok. I'm like, aliens in
exactly. Instead, you're sitting there,
the ocean,
yeah, cat
it's
videos, like whatever, yeah. So, and I
just
feel
forever.
like that's all social media, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's just like it can either be super, super toxic, or it can be a tool, and
Yeah.
how you choose to use it, that's how it'll play
Yeah.
out.
Like with
So.
everything, I guess I think that's fair, just with anything that we have in excess. What is coming up for you? Do you have any new music coming out? Do you have any plans?
I just released an album like a little over a week ago. I only put it on my website and my Bandcamp though. So this one's direct to consumer just because how streaming is. Streaming is getting bad and it does not pay
No, it doesn't.
at all unless you have the volume.
Yeah.
And the way everything's going, honestly, I do a lot of like research in that area just to see how like the market itself is like the trends and stuff. And the days of buying CDs and vinyls and all that stuff, it's coming back around to that. And it's
Yeah.
like it's a perfect example of history repeats itself
Yeah.
in some way.
Yeah.
So this is the first album project that I've done where I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna put it on my website and my Bandcamp and see what happens. It'll be it's a lot of it's been trial and error so far, just to be like, okay, this works, so I'll keep that for next time. This not so much,
Yeah.
but eventually I will release it onto streaming, but it'll just be clips of each song. It's not gonna be the
Nice.
full song.
That
So
I mean that something has to happen when it comes to the finances and things like that with the music, because I've been, around bands that are touring and things like that, and you don't make any money unless you're a huge venue. You just make very little, and then ticket sales, things like that, don't make that much. The only way that you make money is the merchandise, and no one buys that anymore because it's free. So
yeah,
it's very hard.
exactly. And
Yeah.
I was very, I worked hard on this album that I just released, and I was like, I don't want to water down the value of this project
Yeah.
by just giving it away.
Yep. Nope.
So, and then on top of that, you don't need the like crazy like volume of people. Like you get 100 people at a $10 album, there's
Yeah.
$1,000
Yeah.
to hit that on streaming. You would need like, I think it's like 200,000 streams to make a
Yeah, it's
thousand
like 2 cents
dollars.
or something like that per stream once you get, it's
Yeah,
very, very small.
it's yeah. So like unless you're like one of the big like Eminem's, Taylor Swift's, Drake's,
It's just residual for that.
yeah, where
Yeah.
you have tens of millions of streams,
Yeah.
that's the only way that the financial side of streaming is beneficial, honestly. So
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it
where can everybody find this? I know you said on your website. What is your website?
It's super easy. It's just Vanish, VNSH music.com.
Okay.
And then it's on my Bandcamp as well, which is vanish.bandcamp.com. So those are the two places that project I just released are available,
Okay.
at least for the time being. And then, like I said, in a couple weeks, I'll release it onto streaming, but it's only going to be like a minute of each song.
Nice.
And the strategy behind that is like I still get the streaming money that way, but also if it
Come
might
buy
can
it.
yeah it might convert a
Yeah.
even if I convert like a couple out of every 100 people, it's still in the back end going to be more
Yeah.
lucrative for me than just the streaming.
Yeah, and most of the time, if they find you and they buy your CD, they'll probably buy another CD because you've
Exactly.
created that connection to where they're going to support you
Yeah,
no matter what, no matter
it
what.
helps weed out the real fans from
Yeah.
the like I'm just passing through,
Yeah,
which
no,
I
it's
appreciate anyone who has ever listened to anything of mine,
Yes.
but like yeah, the repeat fans and customers and like your loyal group,
Yeah.
that it'll kind of help weed all those out. And so like I'll know who I can like send future projects to, and
Yep.
they'll be on board. So
Yeah, no, I use that a lot for like analytical things, but also like who am I gonna get? I do a lot of give back. So if I'm gonna give something back, I'm gonna give back someone, to someone that has supported me through and through as well. So there's so many different ways to use that. I love to end the podcast with this question. If someone were to come to you and say that they were struggling, or maybe they don't even talk because you can just tell that they're at a very low time in their life, what are some words of wisdom or advice that you would give to them?
just don't give up. Like, no matter how bad things seem or are, the only way that like you 100% will never come back from anything is if you give up. And it doesn't have to like, just little steps. Sometimes like when you're coming back from like trauma or like the loss of like someone important in your life, or like suicidal thoughts, whatever it is, if you give up, it's over no matter what. And then the other thing is, don't look at the big picture, just what's the next step, because the big picture is overwhelming,
Oh
and
gosh.
it's gonna be, yeah, and that's just on a day-to-day basis
That's a
sometimes.
spiral thought. It just keeps going and going.
Yeah, so it's just like break it down into chunks and be like, what's the next thing I need to do to take a step forward? Focus on that. And then when you figure that out, all right, what's the next thing? And eventually you'll have climbed back up the ladder and you'll be like, holy crap, like this isn't so bad anymore. But I just like, you see people just give up so often, and it's so heartbreaking, honestly. It's just like you could, anyone has the ability to bounce back from any tragic event in their life, but it's also on their shoulders. No one else can
It
bring you
is.
back.
Ah, that's such a good point. It really is. I spend a lot of time, helping people and just trying. I think that people can heal and recover when they feel seen, and but you can't force someone to feel seen or to take up space or to tell their story. All you can do is hold that space for them, and I think that's the hardest part by us standing back and like watching everyone is you can't force them if they don't want to. And so that's the hardest part.
It's like a baby learning to walk.
Yeah, it
You're
is.
there, and like you're there for support, and you're there if anything happens. But at the end of the day, like, I can't force you
No.
to take these steps. So
No, that's absolutely correct. Well, it was so good to meet you. It really
yeah,
was.
you
You're
too.
such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life with KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com, KittyLynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.